Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, all right, all right.
What do you got?
So Brian Kelly's the new head coach at LSU, as we know. It's still amazing to me, the quote from Kelly the other day, talking about wanting to be under the big Broadway lights on the big stage at a place where you can win championships, and he was the head coach at Notre Dame. That really is still, to me, amazing, and maybe it's just a factor or a result of being a long time and an older college football fan. But as I said yesterday, Notre Dame's not the SEC. And Notre Dame, I think, really messed up by not joining a conference, the Big Ten specifically, when they had the opportunity to do it. I think ultimately Notre Dame has become less than what Notre Dame was because they haven't been in a conference. The SEC is the place to be in college sports, period. There's nothing that comes close to SEC football. Money-wise, pressure-wise, intensity, big games week in and week out, best venues, the whole nine yards. The SEC is the crown jewel of college sports, SEC football, and Brian Kelly knows it. And as crazy as it sounds for him to say that Notre Dame, for all intents and purposes, was an off-Broadway production and LSU is a Broadway production, it's probably true. Now, Notre Dame could end up in the Final Four when we get to Sunday morning, depending on what happens tomorrow morning. And he won't be coaching. The defensive coordinator who got the head coaching job will be. Anyway, he's excited to be at LSU. I wanted to mention one other thing. For Notre Dame people, this was expected. For Notre Dame, the Notre Dame athletic director and the Notre Dame brass, they knew Brian Kelly was ready to move on. He had a hell of a run at Notre Dame, but he was ready to move on. But who knew that he would say that it was for much bigger and much better? Anyway, he was introduced at an LSU basketball game, not last night, but two nights ago. Brian Kelly is a Midwesterner. You know, Brian Kelly, I don't think, I mean, I could be wrong. Brian Kelly perhaps, lived in the South at some point. But he's been in the Midwest for a long time. I mean, he grew up in Massachusetts, so he's a Northeasterner by trade. And you can hear that more often than not in his voice. But he's been at places like Grand Valley State, Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and then took the job at Notre Dame in 2010. He hasn't spent enough time, I don't think, in the South to have a Southern accent. But listen to the way he addressed the LSU faithful at the LSU basketball game the other night.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started. To be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
So, you can hear him doing his best to do kind of a Southern. The Tiger, when you hear him say Tiger, that's got not only a little Southern, but it's got a little Cajun Southern in it.
It's the family for me, the family.
Let me hear the family part again. Can you give me just the family part? Take your time, because later on...
To be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited.
My family. Yeah. Wow. I know people like that, by the way. I had a couple of friends. I had a friend that went to Texas. I had a friend that went to LSU and Ole Miss. And they always kind of came back with a little bit of a Southern accent. I'm like, that's not your accent. Yeah, but I was down there for 4 years, and this is what happens. He hasn't been down there for 4 days yet. Now, later on in the speech, he veers away from the Southern accent, which I don't even know. I think he's trying to do a little Cajun in there as well. Tiger is more Cajun. You know, Louisiana Parish is more Cajun than just Southern. This is Brian Kelly a little bit later on in the speech.
We knew that coming in. We don't apologize for it. We know it's hard work. We know there's great teams in the SEC. We respect them. But this is LSU. Go Tigers!
It's not go Tigers. It's go Tigers. Pat Forty, one of the all-time, long-time college football, college basketball writers, said, reminds me of when Montana native Bobby Petrino suddenly became, reminds me of when Montana native Bob Petrino, all right, he was always known as Bob Petrino, suddenly became Bobby when he was hired as offensive coordinator at Auburn. A lot of people weighing in on Brian Kelly's accent.
Kevin, if you'll allow me, I actually found who he was modeling his accent after.
Okay.
You've got this kind of like Florida panhandle thing going, whereas what you really want is more of a Savannah accent, which is more like molasses just sort of spilling out of your mouth.
Oh, now do the Swedish chef.
I'm not familiar. What province is he from?
He lives on Sesame Street, dumbass.
Andy Bernard special. Yep. There's been a murder down here in Shreveport. Was it Shreveport? I forget where it was.
I think it was Savannah.
Savannah. Been a murder down here in Savannah. He talks with a little Savannah accent. That's one of my very favorite episodes when Jim and Michael are very much at odds because the company may be going under. And Jim's panicked and Michael... This is where, by the way, The Office was brilliant, Brendan, where they show Michael to be competent. You know, and this was the difference between the British series and the American series. Ricky Gervais playing David Brent was always a total 100% dunce. Michael Scott was pretty much 90% dunce, but occasionally they would give you this little glimpse of, oh, so that's why he's in the position he's in. Because he was the one that was calm during that whole thing. He was the one that diverted their attention. It's just like the episode The Client, when he and Jan go to sell the the school board guy on being their paper supplier. That was the first, I think that was season two. That's the first time you get that kind of feeling that Michael isn't a total dunce. I love that episode. Brian Kelly doing his best to fit in. Nothing wrong with that. I wonder how he'll do. Like, part of me thinks this could be like 3 years and done, and part of me thinks that he's going to win big. I think he's a hell of a coach, by the way. I really do. And I don't think Ed Orgeron was a hell of a coach. Brent Musburger is one of the significant equity holders in the VSiN network. The VSiN network is the gambling network based in Las Vegas, and they've got a lot of programming out there, and they do primarily gambling shows around the clock. Tim Murray, our old friend here from 980, hosts one of their shows in prime time. I think he hosts the 7 to 10 West Coast show. It runs 10 to 1. Here on the East Coast. And Aaron Oster, who was a longtime producer here at the station and produces my podcast, produces Tim's show. They all live out in Vegas, and they're working for the VSiN Network. All the shows, by the way, are done from that new Circa sports book, which I've heard is just amazing. Brent was on a show yesterday. Was this with Schefter, by the way?
No, this was on the JT and Looney podcast.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that podcast. So this is Brent Musburger on a podcast yesterday talking about the John Gruden forced resignation based on all of those emails. Remember, Brent is the play-by-play radio voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. He'll be doing the game on Sunday as the radio voice of the Raiders. Brent, for me, is one of the all-time broadcasting legends. There isn't anything that Brent Musburger did, in my opinion, that he wasn't great at. Play-by-play, hosting, doesn't matter what he was doing, Brent was always one of the best, if not the best of all time. I don't know that I've ever, in broadcasting, I don't know if there's anybody who's ever been as versatile as Brent. He's just as good doing basketball, football, and baseball. He's just as good doing it on radio or TV. Doesn't matter. Anyway, this was Brent talking about the Gruden forced resignation, the emails that caused it. He's pretty opinionated on it, but listen carefully to what he says and how it ties back to Washington.
First of all, as I told Coach, whoever took you out, John, that was a paid assassin, okay? That was one of the best hit jobs that I've ever been around, okay? They didn't go to their media goombas. They didn't leak this to Adam Schefter, or one of those guys who breaks stories. They first went to the Wall Street Journal. And when Gruden was still coaching after that, then they dumped the rest of it on the New York Times. That was a professional hit job. But I want to tell everybody that I'm not completely sure it was somebody in the NFL. There was a second lawsuit involved, okay, between the owner, Snyder of Washington, and a former general manager. And that means that a lot of outside people had access to those emails.
Yeah, and he went on to say, you know, outside people had access to those emails that they were going through. He goes, I think the hardest part for Gruden's lawyers to prove is that somebody from the National Football League actually leaked that. Because if it is somebody from the NFL, shame on them, because Mark Davis should have been told during the summer when he had something to do with it. Look, I think that Jay Gruden, John Gruden, the Grudens all believe deep down that somehow this came from Washington in an attempt potentially to smear Bruce Allen. When Musburger says there was a second lawsuit involved, remember, this was the Snyder-Bruce Allen lawsuit. These emails were part of a discovery motion in an Arizona court. And when Brent says that means a lot of outside people had access to those emails that they were going through, he's trying to indicate to you it may not have been the league. And I think a lot of people believe that the leak of those emails maybe didn't come from the league. There are so many theories here. You know, there are the theories that it came from the league because they wanted D'Amore Smith reelected, and the election of D'Amore Smith happened to have been at the same time. And the comments about D'Amore Smith in those emails from John Gruden would elicit some sympathy, and that D'Amore Smith would be reelected and that would be better for the league. You know, that's one of the theories about the emails. Now, D'Amore Smith, you know, from the league's perspective, it's not just that they think that D'Amore Smith doesn't do a good job or somehow a doormat. They actually, when you read into the league's relationship with D'Amore Smith, I don't know how much respect or how much they fear in negotiations with D'Amore Smith, but I know that they all feel like they're able to work with him. You know, and that hasn't always been the case. They're able to communicate and they're able to work with him. And so there was some sense that they really wanted D'Amore Smith reelected and that somehow it was going to be a close vote, which it was supposed to be, and that leaking these emails, even if it meant John Gruden gets fired, by the way, a high-profile coach in a high-profile right now market with a team that was doing well. Like, the whole situation, Gruden in Vegas, was a pretty good situation for the league. Now, if they were sitting on those emails and they knew what existed in those emails, they were taking a risk that those emails would come out at some point down the road anyway. But to Brent's point, they should have presented those emails to Mark Davis when they knew what was in those emails and let Mark Davis act accordingly when they knew what was in those emails, which was long before that weekend. So that's one theory, that they were dropped in an effort to sort of get Demoris Smith reelected. There are other theories that just there were people in the league or people who had access to these emails that just had a grudge against John Gruden or had a grudge against the emails, had a visceral reaction to the emails and decided to leak them themselves to the Wall Street Journal and to the later that weekend to the New York Times. And then there is the theory that Brent alludes to, that somebody in the case involving Snyder and Bruce Allen leaked those emails. They had access to those emails. Andrew Beaton, the writer for the Wall Street Journal, the first one to break the original email that we heard about, which was the John Gruden email where he talks about Michelin-sized lips on Demoris Smith. That was the first email we heard about. It was written about by Andrew Beaton in the Wall Street Journal, who just coincidentally had written a story a couple of months earlier on Dan Snyder and the big-time turnaround in Washington. It was an absolute puff piece, one of the all-time puff pieces ever written on Daniel Snyder. We talked about it last June. It was as if this guy didn't do any research at all and just took Washington's perspective on Snyder or Snyder's perspective on Snyder as gospel. It made Snyder look like, wow, this guy's really turned it around after being absent for so many years and letting his franchise go to hell in a handbucket, like he had nothing to do with any of it. So that was a link that Beaton, Wall Street Journal, written the puff piece, then all of a sudden he gets the email on Gruden. Now, what would be the motivation? Well, we've talked about it. You know, Dan hates Bruce. Dan believes that Bruce, along with Dwight Schar in particular, was involved in the attempted smear campaign against Snyder back in the summer of 2020. Before the Post stories came out, the stories and the internet rumors that were out there tying Snyder to people like Jeffrey Epstein and to activities like drug trafficking and sex trafficking and all of those rumors that were unfounded and weren't true, but came out prior to the Post story. Bruce is believed by the Snyder camp to have had a hand in that. So impulsive as he is, without thinking about who ends up being damaged by it collaterally, he went after Bruce to try to make Bruce look bad by being a part of these emails that were involved with Gruden, thinking, I'm sure, like he's always thought, well, now the fans will really understand that it wasn't my fault that we sucked for so long. It was Bruce's fault, and he was the bad guy. So that's the other theory. It is interesting that Beaton, who writes this incredibly positive piece on Snyder in June of 2021, is then the one that gets access to the first email. And then the other emails ended up with the New York Times. And by the way, I don't think that Snyder cared about John Gruden being, submarined by emails from an investigation that had nothing to do with him to begin with. By the way, I was thinking about the whole RG3 thing yesterday. I wonder if RG3's in any of these emails. I wonder if part of the book will be some of the emails. Who knows what's coming in that book? Anyway, Musburger, who is close, obviously, to the Raiders, because he works for the Raiders, he calls their games. I don't know if he's an employee of the Raiders or not. You know, some of these play-by-play positions are independent contractor status, and some of them, you're employees of the team. You know, Larry Michael was forever an employee of the team. I think Bram, I don't know this for a fact, I think he's an employee of the team. I could be wrong. But Musburger obviously has a close relationship with the Raiders, with Mark Davis, with John Gruden when he was the coach. And he thinks this was big-time hit, paid assassin, They didn't go to Schefter. They went to the Wall Street Journal. They went to the New York Times. He called it a professional hit job, but very much questioned whether or not that hit job was done by the league. I don't know if we're ever going to find out. Certainly John Gruden wants to find out. John Gruden's going after everybody. And because of that, we may ultimately find out the source of those emails. Who leaked the emails? I think from our perspective, it would be important to find out if it was somebody associated with the Snyder camp, somebody associated with that case in Arizona from the Snyder side. It certainly wouldn't have been from the Bruce Allen side. Bruce is super close with the Grudens. All right. Cole Holcomb's going to join us at 7. Ben Standing at 7:35. Ron Rivera will be our guest at 8. Got a smell test coming up on the show today. We've got Washington beats the Raiders if. Couple of other NFL notes when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're also on the Odyssey app. Become a weekend warrior at BetMGM, guys. King of the Weekend is a free-to-play challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest-scoring pro football teams during the weekend. Simply log into your account and find the King of the Weekend contest in your promotion section. Then pick the six teams you think will score the most points from the selected games. $1,000 will go to the top entry each week. And if you guess all six in the right order, the grand prize of $50,000 could be yours. Plus, hundreds of dollars in free bets will be awarded to players who come close to a perfect score. Go to your account and try the King of the Weekend free-to-play game. New to BetMGM? Download the app today and make weekend football even better. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.